Hey, Ash.
Hey, Taryn.
Surprise, we're going to do word association. Ooh. Ready? First word, no thinking. Here we go.
Wait, what do I do?
Just you have to say immediately the first word that comes to my head.
Okay.
Hat.
Bonnet. Go. Go.
Museum.
Dinosaurs.
Fleet.
What?
Fleet.
Wood Mac.
Not. This is not how it works.
Braid.
Hair. Blueberry.
Funny.
Fish.
Cold.
Cold. Hand.
Nails.
Hoop.
Earring.
I can't. All I keep hearing is Wood Mac.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Heard someone in that not just like come up with a new word, just continue off of that syllable. It's fleet. Like Scrabble.
Fleet. Like ships?
Wood Mac, yeah.
Was it weird or was it genius?
It was genius.
I think it was genius. Hi, Taryn.
Hi.
What is up, everyone? Welcome back to the podcast. This is Unsolicited Advice with me, Ashley, and that lovely lady over there, Taryn.
Can we talk about how I always get offended whenever you say my podcast?
Do I say my?
Well, you remember the other day you were like, yeah, something, something, and they had heard of my podcast. And well, I was like, you mean our?
Was I next to you?
Yeah.
Oh. That is weird.
You say it all the time and then I get offended.
Well,
and
I feel
think
like
it's
I
funny.
Say it all the time. On like if I'm vlogging or like on YouTube, I'll be like my podcast, blah blah blah. Yeah, check yeah. it out. So it's not that I don't include you.
It's fine.
It's ours.
But I just like to like be dramatic just
yeah,
for fun.
Of course you do.
Anyways, Ash, what's new with you in your life?
Well, I did something wild this weekend.
What'd you do?
You're gonna be so proud.
Tell us everything.
Well, Taryn already knows, but for the listeners, if you are unaware, I had a moment where I realized that I am so involved online
yes.
that I don't think I've gone anywhere, trip, experience, whatever, done anything fun, and not vlogged / posted about it. And dang. I was trying to think of like how long it's been, and I think it's been about 10 years.
Does that fact bother, like, does that bother
yeah.
you?
Okay. Yeah, very yeah. much so. And it's not even like I'm thinking back to like when I was in college, like I had Facebook and I had Instagram. No, I wasn't like working on it. But like if I did something fun, I would take a picture and post it.
So, OK, so that's like interesting because I think about like you are a very artistic person.
I love taking pictures. Yeah.
You love taking videos. So it's interesting to me because I don't think if like if you had a different type of occupation, I don't think it necessarily would be that different.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that because that falls under like your job, it feels almost more of like an obligation versus just you enjoying it.
Yeah.
And would the action be different in the long run? Maybe not. But the way it feels is yeah. different because you're like, oh, I'm only posting because I have to.
Yeah.
Versus like you probably
would have. I probably would still do it
anyways,
because
yeah,
I do.
So
I enjoy photography. Anyways, long story short, I went camping this weekend. I didn't vlog it. I didn't post about it. No one knew where I was except for you and
for
my
safety.
Sister Alicia. And yeah, I haven't done that in years and it felt weird and
how
it was
freeing
fun
was it?
And it was exciting. And I was like, wow.
So did you still take photos and videos?
I well, took duh, photos and videos for like for the memes,
for
you
the
know, because it was pretty. But like yeah. I didn't I wasn't like on my phone the whole time. I wasn't filming everything I did, mm-hmm. which is what I normally do.
Yeah.
And it felt weird and kind of exciting.
I love that for you.
I felt like I was doing something like
You're cheating.
Like, wrong.
Sneaking around.
I felt scandalous.
Sneaking around in the office.
It was great. I highly recommend, which is hilarious because I'm sure 90% of the listeners are like, I do that all the time. It's not that big of a deal.
But all of us have that. Like, I even said that about, like, when I started making so much Lego content.
Yeah.
It almost made me feel like,
oh, I miss
stressed.
When I would just sit. And
yeah, because I was like, okay, well, now I have to think of, like, where the camera is, and, like, I have to, like, do this, and I have to edit, and, oh, I can't build that set yet
when
because I
have to. When this started off as something to help you relax
fully,
and just enjoy.
Fully.
Yeah.
So I agree with that. I also think a while back you shifted, and I think I do the same thing, too, where I started just taking pictures and videos throughout, like, a day. So say, for instance, like, Coachella, right? Like, that day, I would take videos and pictures, like, more as just like, oh, this is fun, take a picture, take a video. Yeah. But my rule was I'm not posting anything until either maybe that night when I'm laying down and I'm looking through, reflecting, or the next day. Mm-hmm. And it helped me to be so much more present. And I think you do a very good job of that, too.
Yes.
But I think we all need to think of, like, what our motivations are for, like, doing certain things, you know? Oh, perfect leeway. Segway. Isn't leeway a word, though?
I think it is. I think it is.
Woodmac. Here's my transition. Woodmac. Speaking of motivations and why we do what we do.
Oh, let's go.
Let's just get into my week, a.k.a. last night. So Ashley sends me a TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
Which
we can
is
post
what we
it.
Do. What's oh, what we do.
Literally. And you know when the most frequent time we do it is? Late at night
when we're both in bed across
in
the hall
bed.
From each other.
And I'll just hear Ashley like, ha, 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 ha. And then she'll send something to me and I'll be like, ha, ha, ha. And then we like go back and forth, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But she sent me this TikTok and I definitely want to post it on our UA. So if you're listening, go check out our Instagram. That is just like a great way to get to know us more. And then also, I am very proud and like in love with our UA fam.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like there's a lot of like communication that happens even between like all of you on there. So little plug.
Little plug. Check us out on Instagram.
Check us out. Unsolicited Advice Pod.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Ashley sends me this TikTok and it is about empaths, which I definitely am.
Taryn is 100% an empath.
Like it's freaky. It's freaky. And I am watching this thing and like, yeah, like maybe I didn't relate to like everything that she said, but the core thing was talking about how empaths basically are seen as people who just like feel everything, but that's resulted from a need in their life that they felt like there was like instability and they had to feel out stuff to like sense what people were feeling out of almost like survival, right?
Yeah, kind of like you're walking into like a war zone and you send out the little pawns first.
Yes.
Pawns. Chess?
Woodmac.
Yeah, to like get a feel of what's going on before you allow like your full self to go in there and be vulnerable.
Fully.
Yeah.
So I can relate to that. And I don't know like if I can totally trace to certain things, but I think like at a very young age, I started to develop like a fear of either being in trouble or someone being mad at me.
Mm-hmm.
And my technique for that would be to read people really well. So like even in school, like if I like turned in work and the teacher responded in a certain way, I would be freaking out about it the whole day and watching and like trying to tell like, is she mad at me? Is she just mad in general? Like what's going on? Like all this stuff. And over the years, I think it developed into like a very like extreme, I think, gift. But what she was saying is how much it is a burden as well. Like when we walk into the room, we automatically sense what is the biggest risk to us. So like, who is the person that's giving off weird energy? Who is the person that's like sad? Who is the person that like needs attention, whatever it is?
Yeah.
And it's funny because she said like empaths don't like leave big functions and are like, oh, that was just so fun, whatever. And I think I do. Like I'm really good at socializing, but there is an exhaustion that comes with it. And me watching that TikTok was the first time I connected. Oh my gosh, like that is what it's like, you know? It's so weird. Like I can't, if you walk into a room and your vibe is off, I can't chill until I figure out why and if it has something to do with me. Mm-hmm. And then my two kicks in and then I'm like, I can't chill until I figure out how to help you.
Yeah.
So it becomes this obsessiveness, whereas you're like, oh my God, leave me alone. Like, I just need a second.
Yeah.
But people don't understand how much it like fully takes over who you are. Mm-hmm. Because you can't even be in the room without feeling it. It's like that feeling when you can feel someone behind you. It's like,
yeah.
I can't focus on anything except the way that you are, like, I can tell
the vibes you're sending right now.
Yeah, and it feels almost like magic, but it's very interesting and it is very exhausting. So I cannot wait to watch. I think you have to like buy a membership to watch that whole video.
The full conversation.
I will totally do it because I'm very interested.
I'm very interested in what she had to say too. Yeah. And like even like, I think even like a better word to use other than gift would be like tool. Like yeah. this is a skill set.
Yeah.
That you have learned from a young age so that you've mastered by now. So this is like, you know, so stupid. But like, you know, when you're like playing a video game like Zelda or something, you have like your pouch full of like your skill sets that you can use. Like you are able to reach in and grab this and utilize it in different areas of life. Whereas like some of us, like a lot of people are empathetic and can pick up on stuff like that, but not to the degree that you can.
Yeah.
Like I would walk into the same room and be like, oh, she's in a mood.
Yeah.
Do I care to find out? Not really.
Yeah.
Like if she wants to talk about it, she'll tell me. And then I cut it off and I'm done, you know?
It happens all the time. I remember specifically we were in Australia.
That's what I was thinking too.
And we were talking to this dude and I immediately, like, we're talking to him, but I sense his girlfriend next to us, right? So my eyes are like, if you watch me, next time we're in a room, watch me. My eyes are constantly darting, right? And you'll be able to tell if I'm picking up on something if I keep looking in the same area. I'm telling you, like, watch. It's nuts. So my eyes, like, I catch her, and I just keep watching her, and I'm watching her watch you interact with this guy. You're not flirting, like you're not being anything weird at all, but I can feel she's uncomfortable. And so we leave and I immediately tell Ash, I was like, dang, like she was not happy about us talking to him. And you were like, what are you talking about? She was so nice. Like you didn't notice anything. But mm-hmm. to me, it was like deafening. Like I was like, how could you not notice that, you know? And I think that was one of my first moments where I was just like, okay, like I definitely feel like I'm more sensitive to things mm-hmm. and it's nuts how different it is. And it makes me wonder, like, is it all in my head? Like sometimes I get like worried about that, you know?
I'm going to start having someone with a camera follow Taryn around and we'll find out if it's all in her head. I just cut to Taryn in a room full of people in the corner, eyes darting, looking crazy.
Just plant a sad person and be like, can she tell who she is? Yeah. It's just very interesting. Anyways, so that was like, that was cool for me because I was like, you know, when you're like, you're aware of something, now I feel better equipped to be like, okay, I need to be intentional about when I go in. Like, it's not my job to fix everybody. It's not my job. Like, if I am feeling that sense of like, oh, this is a risk and it's making me anxious. Mm-hmm. And that makes, I'm sorry, I'm having all these revelations.
Yeah.
I think that's why like COVID has been so hard for me because like I take on people's anxiety more than I think a normal person does. And everyone is anxious. Everyone's scared. Everyone's emotional and has things going on. And I think like it got to a point where like I finally just had like a meltdown because I was like so hyped up on everyone else's like anxiety and sadness and stuff that I think like it just was overwhelming, you know?
Yeah, the same video I sent to my mom also because she is very much an empath and very much feels everything that everyone is feeling and takes it upon herself to fix everyone to her ultimate downfall.
Yeah.
I have watched this woman take on so much.
Yeah.
And then like lose herself in the process, lose a friendship, lose whatever. And she won't mind that I say this. She did it to herself.
Yeah.
I love her to death, but no one asked her. The friend didn't ask her to help. My mom just decided she needed mm-hmm. to help, which you know, people need help. And my mom is so loving and so giving that she is an amazing person and is willing to do it. But most people would be like, hey, I'm losing my, I started taking care of you more than I'm taking care of myself. I need to stop. She has no boundary and you have no boundary. So ultimately, what needs to happen is there needs to be a line and an awareness where like you realize, oh, I need to cut it off because I'm no longer feeding into myself and I can feel myself like falling apart. And that is something that I think all empaths and all empathetic people struggle with, but have to come to terms with eventually, because one day you're going to be a mess, like a mess, because you are taking on my issues, your family's issues, your other friends' issues, your coworkers' issues, and you're not able to say no because you feel so deeply bad for the people and what they're going through. And I had to sit my mom down once and I was like, hey, listen, you got to cut it out. Yeah. Like, you're not allowed to intervene in anyone's life until they, unless they ask you to. And you should only do it if you have the availability to do so.
Yeah.
If you are at your wit's end and you're full, like, you have to say no.
Yeah. But like, that's so much easier said than done. And I feel like even that TikTok like should help you to see like how it's so much deeper than just
For sure.
I think I'm going to go and get involved. It's like a sense of like you can't, you feel like
it's
you don't have a choice.
It's a sense of responsibility.
Yeah.
And with great power comes great responsibility.
Great power. I am a superhero. But I will say I'm trying, and I feel like you've been good for me to be like, hey, like that's not your business. I'm like, okay, yeah, for sure. But it does take a lot more to get me off a train of thought. And I will revisit it frequently. It's a lot of discipline to be like, hey, this is not your thing. Like, calm down. Like, this is not about you. Like, whatever. But anyways, that was like a long tangent. But I wouldn't be surprised if like so many people can relate to that.
1,000%.
So yeah, we'll definitely post the TikTok. I don't know who this girl is, so I don't know like how like reliable or whatever. But I can say that as someone who is very empathetic, when I heard what she said, it resonated with me a lot.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Hello, everyone. It's Taryn.
And Ashley.
From Unsolicited Advice. And if you want to listen to our show without ads, you can now.
Just go to unsolicitedadvice.supercast.com or click the link in the episode description and you can get a 1 week preview of the ad-free version for free.
You'll get ad-free listening to the show. You can listen on almost any podcasting app and you'll be supporting our show too. That's unsolicitedadvice.supercast.com.
Anyways, let's brighten it up. Let's go to a lighter note. It is time for our Tearing It Up segment. This is the segment where you guys send in funny stories and we get a good laugh at it. And today is extra funny because I have I have my own Tearing It Up to share.
I love this.
here we go. So last week, well, backstory, I recently joined a new worship team.
Yes.
And I'm very excited about it because I haven't been drumming as much and where I normally drum is so far. It's so far. And I no longer am willing to like make the drive regularly. I'll do it every once in a while, but not regularly. If anyone is involved in church whatsoever, then you know that volunteering usually takes up like most of your Sunday.
Yeah.
And there's sometimes like a practice midday day. Practice yeah. or something mm-hmm. like that, et cetera, whatever. So I go and I'm shadowing this new worship team and I'm going to their practice on Wednesday night and I'm meeting like the rest of the team. I'm seeing the space that they work out of. I'm like walking into the studio and listening to some of the music they're working on. Very exciting. And I don't know anybody well. I'm like the newest person in the group. Also, I'm the only female in the group,
which is
pretty normal.
Yeah.
So I walk in and there were a couple people that I had met already. And one of them was like, hey, look who made it, you know? And I turned around and it was this guy who I had met previously. And I was like, hey, what's up? And he did one of those, like, you know, when you like, you see someone that you're friendly with, but like, instead of a hug, you go and just like pat them on the shoulder. It's like a little, like, just like a, what's
just like
that?
A tap, yeah. like a
fist bump, but yeah. like hand to shoulder. I hesitated. For whatever reason. I don't know why. I just hesitated. So he tapped me on the shoulder. A beat goes by. And then I'm like, then I go to tap him on the shoulder and say, yeah, what's up? Like, it's good to see you. But by that time, because I hesitated, like his arm moved. Like he was pointing to something else. I wasn't paying attention because I was focusing on bumping his shoulder. And so instead of tapping his shoulder, like, I wanted to do and intended to do, I end up very delicately like patting his side, like his rib cage, you know? And
I can physically see this whole interaction
because like it was delicate because I saw it happening, but it was too late. Like my yeah. hand was in motion and it was happening. Yeah. So I slow it down, but it still happens. And I very delicately like tap his side. And the poor guy was like, oh, yeah, sure. Bring it in. Like, because he's reading yeah. it as, oh, I was going
oh,
in
you're
for
trying
a
to hug. Yeah.
And he shoulder bumped me. So he was like, oh, I don't. He was like, let me fix this. Let me give you a hug. But I wasn't trying to give him a hug. I was trying to shoulder tap
so
him.
So you tapped and then retreated.
I tapped. And as I'm retreating, he's going in for the hug. But I'm retreating pretty fast because I was trying to make it clear like, oh, no, no, no. Like, I wasn't trying to hug yeah. you. But then it was too late.
Oh my God.
And he goes in for the hug and hugs me with my arm pinned between the two of us. Because
so
I was
good.
Retracting my arm from the very uncomfortable side tap that I gave him.
Yeah.
And then he was just like, oh, whoa. Like, oh. I was like, I don't know what to do. And so then he like lets go. And I just kind of uncomfortably like, turn yeah. around. And then I'm like, well, there's that. And then I stand next to him and we listen to the music and I just go through the whole thing in my head.
Oh, I'm
like
sure you replayed
times.
It 20
I'm
times.
Like,
yeah.
I have never been so uncomfortable in my life. Why? How did I? It was fully me. He did nothing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He did nothing wrong. I did that. I was so weird and uncomfortable and I could not figure out why. And so I would play it multiple times in my head. I tell Taryn, I text it to Alicia. I'm like, you'll never believe I've never been so weird. So weird. And especially like with a group of people that I don't know. And I'm like, did everyone else see that? Did this get really awkward?
Yeah. It would be interesting to see like footage of it because I'm sure it was like a 2 second thing.
Oh, but he probably didn't even think about it. But I was just sitting here going like, why? Why did I do that? Anyways, I haven't shared a tearing it up in a really long time. And I just want to share that.
Yeah. You know why? Because like when you do something embarrassing, you will do anything to cover up your embarrassment.
Oh.
Like you're just like moveon.com.
I was like,
that
so
didn't
let's
happen.
Listen to this song that you, let's hear it out. Let's hear it. Let's go.
That's like my, is that a high five invitation?
Yeah.
Like so embarrassing.
Is that a high five invitation?
If you don't know, then you obviously haven't listened to every episode, so. I love the episodes where we just like banter. I don't know if everyone else does, but
everyone's like skip.
Everyone's like should it, but
they
I think it's like
fast forward 30 seconds until they get to the point where the stories come
yeah,
in.
Yeah, but like everyone comes here for us, you know.
There's skippers out there, but it's okay.
It's fine.
You,
I skip.
You live your skipper life, and we'll.
Yeah, no one's judging you. No one's like watching you. Do what you gotta do. Okay. Jealousy is a disease, and I need a doctor.
Oh,
Well, the doctor's in, honey.
That's her name is Taryn Renee.
I am.
Renee.
I am.
Look at how you're sitting right now.
She's sitting with thriving.
Like the chair sideways and her arm is like up on the backrest of the chair.
Thriving. Sometimes like during the episodes, I had this realization the other week because I was like watching one of our reels or something. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I do feel a sense of like I have to sit perfectly because like the mic and like whatever. But then I'm like, you don't sit like a normal person. Like I never have been. Like I always am like crooked or like leaning on stuff, whatever. So I'm like, you need to just like embrace who you are.
Absolutely.
While recording.
Duh.
So this is me embracing.
Perfect.
Okay. So this is from Anonymous. It says Anonymous, please. First line. I was like, perfect. Is it Anonymous? Yes. Hi, Taryn and Ash. My name is.
Got it. Taryn, for those of you that don't know, Taryn just like goes off to the side and very big mouths it.
Yeah.
Very big
mouths
it. Sometimes
I forget people are listening only through their ear holes. Yeah. But whatever, it's fine. I would like to say
Why
Anonymous.
Why did you say ear holes? That's weird.
They're, because they are.
Ears are only, they're only listening. Why did you, why ear holes?
I don't know, Ash. Whatever.
I don't like that.
Wood Mac. Okay. You both are huge role models for me, and I look forward to the pod every week. As far as my Enneagram goes, they know us so well.
God bless.
The test says I am a type 7, but I also see a lot of type 3 in myself. Okay. Which, do okay. 7, where do 7s go? I'm trying to think, because if I go to 8, a 2 goes to 8, 3 would go to...
3 goes to 6. 7 goes to 5 and 1.
Okay, interesting. But I will say, and I think Ash, if you've listened to our Enneagram stuff, I feel like Ash always reiterates. And when I was taking the test, she told me this often. Like, the test is a test. Like, yeah, I can create some clarity. But at the end of the day, like, it's almost better to just read every description. And then the one that, like, rubs you wrong the most is mm-hmm. probably... the number that you are.
Yeah, great example is I had multiple people, the group of friends that got me to take the Enneagram test in the first place all thought I was a 2.
Mm.
They all thought for sure I was a 2. So I walked into it thinking I was a 2. And I had also had a friend say I was a 4. So I had like those two numbers in my head. And I took the test and it was kind of like, oh, you could be this, you could be that, you could be that. And I was like, oh, I didn't even think about these numbers. I ended up reading a book where I read each description deeply and it broke down each number. And when I got to 9, sobbed. Like,
you were like
it was
oh.
like, that's me. Mm-hmm. 9 was one of the numbers on my list of the test. And that's where I ended up settling. Yeah. So I highly recommend that you dive into all of them. Like, before bed, just read a number and then think about it the rest of the day. Did that sit right with me? And then read the next one. And then I guarantee you one will just hit.
Yeah.
And you'll be like, dang.
That's so funny because I never have thought you're a 2.
Yeah.
You are such a caring person. Like, it has nothing to do with that. But your ability to, like, separate and just do mm-hmm. your own thing, like, I've never thought you were a 2.
Yeah, yeah. Before I think I what see. They were thinking was I do tend to give a lot of stuff away, like, to people as
you
gifts.
Are very giving.
And I think that they, like, jumped on that and they were like, oh, you must be a 2.
Yeah.
I get the 4 thing a lot, but I'm a 9 through and through.
You thought I was a 4.
I thought you were a 4. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anywho. Okay. So you're probably a 3 if that's what you're vibing with is all I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Okay. I have a situation that I would love some feedback on. It's an issue that I never saw myself having an issue with, but here we are. I love whelp. A little backstory. I've been dating my boyfriend for about a year and a half. He is the love of my life and we are very happy. I'm currently in vet school 2 states away, so we have been doing things long distance for pretty much our entire relationship. Oh, I come home for all of my breaks and we take turns visiting each other on weekends when we are both free. As much as we would both prefer to live in the same state, we've been managing long distance pretty darn well. My boyfriend has 2 brothers that are his best friends. One is older and is married, and the younger one has a new girlfriend. We hang out as a group all the time, with the exception of the new girlfriend, since she is a new addition. Let's call his younger brother Jay. I get along really well with Jay, and I was thrilled for him that he has a girlfriend. He had a rough patch with girls for most of the time that I've known him, and he and I have had many conversations about his girl problems. His new girl is the absolute sweetest, and we get along really well. I'm excited for when I'm home this summer and can get to know her a little better since I've only met her twice. They met online and have been dating for about 6 weeks now. This is where things are getting weird for me. I have never really been jealous of other people's relationships. I was the single friend for most of my life, so I got used to it. But now I find myself getting irrationally jealous over Jay and his girlfriend. Like, whenever my boyfriend brings up something cute that they did, I get this really weird and angry feeling. I can't make sense of it. Like, I'm really, really happy for Jay, and I really like this girl. So why am I getting upset over it? I'm not sure if it is coming from a place of being upset because they get to see each other every day or because their relationship is progressing quickly or what. I've tried to explain it to my boyfriend, and I made a comment that I almost had a worried feeling that they would get engaged before us. And he reminds me that we're all on different paths and their timeline is not the same as ours. I love my man so much, so it's not like I'm unhappy with my relationship in any way. I would love to hear your perspective on this situation. I don't like having this jealous feeling. I would like to get back to the point of just being happy for Jay and his girl. Love, Anonymous. This is a great one. I say this all the time, but I love when it's situations where I'm like, we haven't talked about this.
Ooh, this is very interesting.
Yes.
So many thoughts. I mean, I would not be shocked if you're just jealous that they get to see each other all the time. Fully. Like, that's what's holding you guys back.
Did you have a thought when you were first reading it before we got more details in the end where you were like, oh my God, does she have feelings for the brother?
Yes.
I did too.
I was like, she secretly loves him.
Yeah.
I was like, this but just then, got like, so
more
poppery.
Happened, and I was like, oh.
Yeah.
It's funny because I love when like we read the emails and it just goes to show we are all very smart. And I think that over time we've gotten less in tune with our gut because we are constantly seeking other people's approval, other people's advice on like what we should do. So we almost turn to like outside sources before we just like sit with ourselves and be like, what is like my God-given gut telling me to do?
Yeah.
Like, what is my feelings? Like, what am I leaning towards? And I think that's a hard thing to do, is just like sit in silence with your own problems and be like, okay, I'm just going to be quiet. And like,
yeah,
I'm just going to like marinate on it and see like what comes up. But in most of the emails towards the end, in the way people ask questions, I'm like, you know, like, yeah, you know the answer.
They want a confirmation, or they want to hopefully hear something else than something they've already
fully
heard or thought of.
Which I get, because I can do the same thing. But I think sometimes we need to sit back and be like, when did I give my power to everyone else? Like, why do I need to ask permission to feel things from everyone else? Like, and this is kind of a tangent, but I think it applies to our story. But so all this to say, I think it is so clear what's going on, and I think it's so valid. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, I watched my brother went through a long distance relationship for 4 years because he was in college. And there's so many dynamics that happen with long distance. And then, you know, and then when they come back, it's almost like their relationship restarts and they're trying to figure out a rhythm and, you know, different communication, because now we're with each other. So like, we don't have to talk on the phone all the time, which is where a lot of stuff comes up. So I think you have maybe a tendency to compare.
Yeah.
Which is something
which we all do.
We all do, but it's definitely something I think we can like try to work on as people. I think these are people you care about. And I know for me, I tend to fall in this area when it comes to relationships, because in my mind, I'm like, okay, I'm an excellent girlfriend. I love people with my whole heart. I feel like a very wise person in the decisions I've made in regards to like how it could impact a relationship. I am literally meant to be like a mother and like be in relationship. And I don't have a crazy date. Like, I haven't dated around and like done all these things. So I'm like, why, make it make sense why I'm like the last person to meet someone, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then I watch my friends who have been like, ah, nothing matters. Like, yeah. I'll date you and I'll date you. I'll date you three at the same time.
You all like, get a date.
And then all of a sudden they're like, hi, I met the love of my life 2 months later. We're engaged.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what is happening?
Yeah, yeah.
But it's that whole thing, like the presence of someone's beauty isn't the absence of your own.
Right.
Same thing with this. The presence of someone else's relationship going some way has nothing to do with a reflection of like, oh, that must mean something's wrong with mine. Mm-hmm. So you have to like find that separation.
Yeah. I want to lean into what your boyfriend said. Like everyone's path is completely different. I have a dear friend who met this girl this past summer and they're engaged.
Yeah.
It's been like 5 months. And it is wild.
Mm-hmm.
I can't begin to express how perfect they are for each other. Like, it just makes sense. Like, if you get to know both of them, you're like, dude.
Yeah.
She's it. Like, mm-hmm. this, she's the one. Like, you've been waiting for her. And it just makes so much sense to me. But imagine if I sat there and was like, oh, well, like, I met my guy around the same time. Like, I, you know, what if I, you know,
yep.
as should I be at that point? No. Absolutely not. And yeah. if I sit down with myself for a long time, I don't want to be there. Like, that's too mm-hmm. soon for me. Mm-hmm. I can't, I don't want that at
yeah.
all. But that's perfect for them. Like, if I separate myself from this person, then I'm like, oh, this so fits you.
Yeah.
Like, this makes so much sense for you.
Yeah.
And it's not fair to put yourself in comparison to someone else's path because
no.
everyone's path is so different. So I really agree with your boyfriend. You need to separate. You need to cut
yeah.
that off. And I think Taryn's right. I think the reason you are putting yourself in this comparative state is because you wish you were closer and lived closer to your
yeah.
boyfriend where you could be growing probably a little faster.
Yeah.
Because long distance just is hard.
Yeah.
It's really hard. And unfortunately, that's where you're at right now. It doesn't mean that you're going to be there forever. But it does mean that you'll probably see people growing closer faster because they're just spending so much more time together.
Yeah. What is that? I think Alicia told us, or she sent us a podcast or something. There was some, I'll try to find it, but I'm not confident I can. There was something where someone was saying that jealousy is basically like an inner look of like something you desire. Is any of this ringing a bell? But basically it's the practice of like, okay, if I feel a jealous feeling, I have to step back and strip what is the feeling.
Yeah.
So if this girl walks in and she looks super hot and like whatever, and I'm looking at her and I'm like, ugh, I'm so jealous of her. Okay, I'm not jealous of her.
You
what
want.
What do I want in this situation?
Yeah.
So maybe I look and I'm like, oh, well, she looks so put together, her hair and makeup. Okay, so that's a reflection then that you feel like you're not put together.
Mm-hmm.
So you strip everything aside and you're like, okay, this is not, I'm not jealous of a person, because when you put a name to it and a situation, then you become fixated.
Yeah.
So like for Anonymous, you've tied this, oh, why am I jealous of him and her? And then it's become this fixation because you're like, this doesn't make sense. I love him. I love her. Like, why am I feeling this way? And then you start to spiral in like, is there this deeper thing going on? It has nothing to do with them.
Yeah.
And if you strip everything away, which pretty much in your email, I can like strip it for you. It's they're progressing fast. They're, you know, they get to do all these fun things. And those are things you feel like you lack because of the distance.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, well, then think about like when you guys are finally together, you're going to have all this time to like do your own thing.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't want to rush your relationship in a way that would damage it.
Yeah.
So I think it's like you have to like strip those things aside and see like, okay, what is the fact here? Like,
yeah.
what am I actually jealous of?
I think the fact is you love your boyfriend.
Yeah.
And you eventually want to be engaged and married to him.
Yeah.
And so I think what's happening is you're seeing someone grow and progress so quickly in their relationship that you're panicking, worrying that maybe you guys are doing it wrong, or
yeah.
maybe you're taking too long, or blah, 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 because eventually that seems like that's the end goal.
Yeah.
But I think what needs to happen is I think there needs to be an awareness of where your relationship is at right now. You are building a foundation that the rest of your relationship, if you end up getting married, will be like built upon.
Yeah.
And if you rush that foundation and you like, let's paint a picture. Let's say you quit school mm-hmm. and move back to be with him so that you can get married. Are you going to resent him the rest of your life because you didn't finish school?
No,
probably. If you like finish out school and then like bring him to like drop his stuff and move out to you, he'll resent you also. Like, you have to do you separately and live out your dream separately, ideally.
Yeah.
So that you can come together and be one and be happy that you've lived your life. You've done what was necessary for you, you know? And I feel like if you pour into this foundation right now and take your time, let's use a metaphor, like watering the garden and like pulling out the weeds and dealing with all the drama and stress that comes with being in a long distance relationship, if you can handle that now and handle it well, when you're done with school and you move back together, y'all are going to be solid.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be so awesome. But that all comes in the timing that it takes to build that foundation properly.
Yeah. And I think too.
Wow. I feel like I said that well.
You said that. Both of us are thriving right now. I just want to say. Right now? We are professionals.
Oh my God.
It makes sense why people come to us. I think that. If, like, so say, for instance, you strip down, like, oh, they just did a really cute date and I'm jealous of that. Okay, well, find what works for you. Like, to me, I would sit back and I'd be like, okay, we're both busy this weekend. I'm not going to see him. So I'm going to put together a date night package where I give him, like, dishes that I have the matching set. I'm going to order him food where I know there's a restaurant I can order the same food, and I'm going to arrange all this stuff, send him a package that says do not open until instructed, whatever. And then when we FaceTime, he's going to open it and it's going to be like we have a fun date night. Like, there's ways to get creative to fill that need in realistic ways for you. So I think it's just going to take, instead of putting your time and energy in like, I'm so upset, I'm jealous, like I'm watching this relationship, like, turn your focus and be like, no, I'm going to put my time and energy into filling the areas of need that I feel like are there and then focus on that, you know? And sometimes I think we're all jealous of things that, like, if we really knew what was going on, we would not be jealous of. Like, my relationship, if we had people 24/7 be like, you guys are our favorite couple. Like, you're who I want to be when I am with someone. Like, oh my God, you guys are perfect, all this stuff. And that was my fault, because that was a lot of times what I portrayed. But on the inside, like in the depths of our relationship, there was so much that was wrong and like toxic and going on. So it's like, I look at those times and I'm like, I feel guilty sometimes, because I'm like, I let everyone believe like, oh my God, we want to be you. You guys are so perfect. Like, and it wasn't the case. So I think it's just, we ultimately don't know what's going on with everyone.
No.
So there's no point in focusing jealousy on specifics. So that's why you need to strip it down and be like, why am I upset right now? Because it has nothing to do with them. And that needs to be your mantra. Every time you feel jealous of Jay and his girlfriend, being like, ooh, I feel that. I'm aware of that. I'm going to acknowledge that real quick. But first, before we get started, it has nothing to do with Jay and his girlfriend. And then strip it down to what it really is.
Yeah, 100%.
But jealousy is tricky. But I think if we learn to like manage it in that way, it can be a really cool tool to like give us those hints of like, oh, it's like pouring alcohol on your arm and you don't see a cut, but all of a sudden you're like, ooh, something's stinging right there.
Ooh,
it's
great, like, analogy.
Thanks, girl.
Well done.
But it's like, that's your way. Like, when those jealous feelings come up, it's like, okay, something's there. And then like, let me take a second to process this instead of marinating in jealousy or acting on my jealousy. Like, what's really going on? Like, what am I really feeling? You know?
Wow.
And go from there.
Anonymous.
This
Anonymous,
was our best advice.
You are in,
ever given.
You're in a place that's not the best right now, but that's not going to be forever.
Yeah.
And you have a lot of very exciting things going your way, and you just got to be a little patient.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
All the good things.
And it's going to be beautiful. And
it's
going to be something
great.
Like,
and in
you
your
can talk
timing.
To your daughter about.
Yeah.
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 Any hoozle. Okay. Dang it. I said it again. You know why?
Any
it's because I just watched that reel of me saying it in the beginning. So I don't regret
any hoozle. Any hoozle, everyone.
Are you going to be able to crank out this story pretty quick? Because I've taken up all the time.
This is the Taryn Renee episode.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
You know, wisdom takes time.
Okay. Relax. Let's go ahead and dive into my story. This one is shorter, which is great. This one is titled, Dear Sisters, Love Anonymous.
Are we the sisters?
We're the sisters.
Okay.
I mean, that's how I took it.
I did too, immediately.
Okay. She writes, "Hi, my beautiful angels, Taryn, Ashley, and the handsome man, Mark."
Mark?
Is he? Yeah. Yep. Yep. Okay.
Mark is here with us today, guys. He resurrected himself.
He's no longer dead.
Grace us with his presence.
He's risen.
He has risen indeed.
She writes, I tell everyone about your pod, and this is why I'm anonymous.
Because she's like, everyone's listening.
She's like, everyone that I told about is listening. So she writes, "I've been with my boyfriend for almost 3 years now. We recently bought a home and I am so much in love with him. He is handsome, sweet, smart, and supportive. The reason I am emailing you is because I feel sad. Uh-huh. I am a sick gal. I have medical issues that are pretty severe, especially if left untreated. I don't have health insurance, and the job I'm at now I really enjoy but does not offer health care. I'm beginning to feel my sickness crawling up to me. I'm not treating it properly, so I am nervously trying to get insurance, but there's a huge issue that's in the process of being resolved. That's not fully why I'm writing this, but it's an important detail for what I'm about to share. My boyfriend, mostly," she adds in parentheses, "and I speak about marriage and kids, which I'm all for, but this is the second time he's mentioned getting married so that I can have insurance through his oh-so-amazing job. As appreciative as I am for that, I just don't want it. It's making me resent marriage with him now because I feel like it's a charity case. I want him to want to marry me because he loves me. This is just making me feel like it's not real anymore. I don't want to be married again for the wrong reasons. Yes, you read that correctly. I was married once before because of health coverage and my family guilt-tripping me for living a, quote, sinful life. I'm a Christian, I love God, and I put him first, but I can't make that mistake again. This isn't just pride and wanting to be the badass I am and doing things on my own. It's about the possibility of another divorce. I don't want him to mistake this for me not wanting to marry him. And being 30, I know it feels like time is ticking, but this is huge for me. I'm scared to wait too long and become disabled again, or the ending being fatal for me being stubborn. I am an Enneagram 7 and he's an Enneagram 5. I am in school again, changing my profession from automotive technology to public relations. I work a full-time career, part-time paid actor/model, and next week I'll be a student again. This is taking over my sanity. Some sisterly advice would be very helpful. I love you all. You keep me laughing every single day. By the way, I'm the girl who insta-messaged you about how I think of Taryn saying, quote, 'play with you, I will,' to her Lego Yoda when I'm sad, LOL."
So embarrassing. That honestly is, I think, one of my top five.
Oh my God.
Most embarrassing.
And then
moments.
Here's a picture she added of the two of them.
Oh my gosh, cute.
Which, by the way, wow, you guys are a beautiful couple, and you're stunning.
You're
stunning.
I'm going to make a formal request to every single person who listens to you. If you are writing to us about relationships, can you just include a quick sentence of how you met them? Ooh. I'm genuinely wondering how people meet people, because dating apps is like not it.
Taryn said, can I get a broken down
can I get
story,
just
how
a
to?
Literally, just in parentheses, we met at Walmart. So I want to know.
It was
Will
Bumble.
I be at Walmart the next week? Yep. Just cruising the aisles.
Wearing her best outfit
cruising
with her hair curled and
the aisles
up and done and all the things.
Wow, this is really interesting.
This is very interesting. I don't think we've had a story like this. Mm-mm. Specifically where, I mean, we've had like the been married before, possibly getting married again, fear of like another divorce kind of situation, but not with the health issues involved.
Yeah.
Which makes this very interesting.
Very interesting. Okay, so this is kind of crazy because I'm not joking. I know of a handful of situations, both like people I know, people who I know that know
friends
someone,
of friends.
Things I've heard on like podcasts, whatever, where this is actually like a common thing because of the way insurance is and just the things that come up in life, right? I don't think it's that uncommon that people will get married like at a courthouse, just the two of them, don't say anything to anyone. And then they don't even see that as marriage. They see it as just like technical
paperwork.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
And then they full-blown go on with an actual wedding that ties all the significance and beauty that comes with marriage. So I think, like, when you first were saying some of these stuff, that was kind of what came in my mind. I'm like, oh, like, I've heard of people do this, and they were very, I think the trick is you have to be very, very specific, intentional, and, like, upfront and honest about everything going into it. So it's like, hey, this does not give you just, like, an unlimited timeline of, like, when we actually, like, get married. I still want to be proposed to. I still want a full-blown wedding. I don't want this told to anyone because, like, this to me is not what I want to be the symbol of, like, our, like, commitment to each other. And I think, like, obviously it's not something like, oh, hey, I'm going to marry you for insurance, but I don't know you. Like, obviously it's people who are like, no, like, that is our life trajectory. Yeah. But we're taking care of, like, the formal part of it just between the two of us. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to do, like the beautiful part later. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I also know, I know a couple people who got married at a courthouse before their actual wedding for different reasons.
So, like, many different
there
reasons.
There were things that came up that just prevented their timeline or prevented X, Y, and Z. It had nothing to do with insurance. Yeah. Like, it was other issues that came up that yeah. got in the way of their timeline. And so they got married in the courthouse and then just pretended they weren't. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't this dark secret. Like, they told a handful of people. They were like, yeah, we ended up doing it. So, like, the paperwork is done and, yeah. and taken care of beforehand. A lot of them did live one of them did live long distance. So it made things a lot easier yeah. moving forward for them. But, like, I think that goes back to the story before. Like, everyone's path is so different.
So different.
And everyone's life story looks so different. And mm-hmm. for different reasons, you might have to take care of paperwork beforehand.
Yeah. One of my friends had so much anxiety about her wedding that she was like, I can't do this. And so her now husband was like, hey, want to go to the courthouse and just do it between the two of us?
Yeah.
And they did. And she still had a wedding and nobody knew. Like, but when she told me, I was like, that's so beautiful. And it was funny because at her wedding, I remember thinking, like, she just looked so light. Like, yeah. she wasn't stressed about anything.
Well, all the important yeah, stuff.
Yeah, because she was
done.
Like, we're already married. Like, this is just a fun party with my friends and family. Yeah. So I do, all I'm saying is, like, that was kind of my first thought. Now, I think this specific situation, there's so much more tied to it because yeah. this is, like, a prior thing. So that might not be the answer for you. And I think, I mean, it's so hard because I don't know details because I'm sure they've talked about it, but I would love to hear if there has been or what it looked like, a conversation her with her husband or boyfriend of being like, hey, what are your thoughts around this? Mm-hmm. Because if you're like, let's just get married for insurance, well, if all health stuff aside, like, when would you want to get married? Like, would you still want to get married? Yeah. Like, what's your timeline looking like? Because if it's something where he's like, oh, I've been planning this a while, like, it's in the bag, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then it'd be like, maybe that would give you more confidence to be, if you do have, like, a debt. Because I know sometimes there's deadlines of, like, I have a procedure that needs to happen, so I need yeah. the insurance now. Yeah, yeah. So I'd just be interested what your conversations with him is.
Yeah.
I like what she said about, like, I don't want to become, like, have this big health scare because I'm being stubborn about this. Like, that's so much tied to it.
Yeah. I think there's multiple ways to look at this. One, I'm going to go ahead and go health first. I think there's nothing wrong with being a little selfish and getting insurance to take care of yourself. I think the ultimate goal is to be healthy and to survive. And if your boyfriend is sitting there saying, like, let me help you, yeah. you're not taking advantage of him. He's offering. Yeah. So I think there is something to be said about, let's get you healthy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's an if. You clearly want him to marry you out of love.
Yeah.
I agree with Taryn. I think you need to have a conversation with him. He offered. So I think what you need to do is find out if he loves you.
Yeah.
If he wants to marry you. And if he does want to marry you, like Taryn said, what's the timeline?
Yeah.
Because what you can do is you can do what Taryn was just saying. Like, you can marry him at the courthouse and continue dating him for a year before you get married. You don't have to actually live the married life. Mm-hmm. You don't have to, like, do all the things, you know, but you could get that taken care of and get your health in a good place and then get married. Ideally, like that, if that's what you're wanting, then you can do that too. And I think you have a lot of really beautiful options. I think you have what sounds like a really amazing boyfriend who is sitting here wanting to help you. And I don't want, I understand why it's frustrating because you want him to love you slash marry you because he wants to. But I think what he's saying is, I think him offering is him saying he loves you and wants to help. So I don't want to, I don't want you to accidentally diminish his action because that's a, what he's saying is a pretty intense and beautiful thing.
Yeah.
He clearly loves you and wants to help. So yeah, I think you have options.
Offer if he didn't see like the future.
I wouldn't offer.
And get a house. Like, yeah. So that's where I think just a lot of communication needs to happen.
Yeah. Cause what if he's like, of course I want to marry you.
Yeah.
That changes things.
But if this is like the hill you're willing to be like, hey, no, I'm sticking to like, I don't want this. Mm-hmm. Then I would like start really working towards like, what are other options out there for insurance for me?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's just tricky. I feel like, I mean, only you guys can really answer this, which is why I'm sure you've had these conversations. But I think just really sitting with him and like getting down to like the baseline of like, what is it that you're really wanting? What is it that he's wanting? What kind of insurance is, not insurance, bad use of the word now in the story, assurance. That's what
assurances.
What assurances are you needing? What assurances, like, you know what I mean? Just mm-hmm. just wrap it out and be like so honest. And I don't think there's anything wrong with you being like, no, marriage is something I want to be a beautiful thing. And I don't want to feel like I'm signing a contract just so I can go to the doctor. Like, yeah. I get that. I don't think that's irrational. Especially if you've been through trauma regarding like this situation. So, yeah, I just think a lot of conversation needs to happen.
Yeah. I think a big, long, I mean, pour yourself a glass of wine, turn on like a fire or a candle and like sit down with him and just hash it out. Like write down a whole list of questions you need answered and have him answer them honestly and vice versa. Like have him write down a whole list of questions he needs to know about you before entering into a very serious thing.
Yeah.
So I think you guys just need to talk about it.
Yeah. He could be like planning to propose. So like in his dude mind, because guys are different than girls, like that could be like what he thinks he's saying is like, well, let's just go get married now for the insurance.
Yeah.
Because in his mind, he's like,
of course I'm going to marry you. Let's do it now.
Yeah, like I'm going to propose soon. So like, yeah, this makes sense. So like, I think there just needs to be that clarity of like what exactly is like going on.
Yep. 100%.
Or if it's like, oh, you're going to propose soon. Well, just do that. Like, let's just drop this insurance thing. Like, let's just go on with this timeline, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think you just need to talk about it.
Yeah. I think. Wow. I feel like we're on a roll today, Taryn.
Wow.
We're so wise.
You know.
Wise.
Okay, so I'm going to, you know, read a dad joke.
Let's end it on a good note.
Why are tennis players bad at relationships?
I have no idea. Like, literally nothing came in my head.
Because love means nothing to them.
Oh, damn it. That's a good one.
Because isn't love zero?
Yeah.
I was like, wait, do I get it?
Guys, thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you made it to the dad joke, we love you the mostest. Be sure to follow us on Instagram and chat with us there. We've been very active on there and just love getting to talk to you guys even more about some of the conversations that we have here. If you are sitting on a story that you would love to share, we need
now's
it from
your
you.
Time.
Write it down, send it in. We'd love it. And yeah, that's all. We'll talk to you guys later.
Love you. Bye.